Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and Half. I'm your host, Matt King, with my co-host here, Mike Sheffer. And we're just catching up with the two of us. Mike, how's your day going?
My day's going great. I'm on day something of no caffeine, no stimulants of any kind. I'm doing a full body reset here.
That's right, because you've expressed on Good Influences that you've been struggling with your sleep. You've had your Oura Ring. You've had to talk to a few like specialists about your sleep data, but now you've been kind of inputting it all through like AI, using it as its like own doctor.
Yes.
And it's been advising you.
Slightly, yes. And then I got blood work done. I did like a hormone test. I went to my original like regular doctor. So basically I have to quit caffeine, which is a huge part of my personality, unfortunately.
You love your coffee.
So it's been really tough, especially just being so tired. Basically what I've discovered is that the coffee was like suppressing how tired I've been. And then my body at night is like, well, you're not that tired. We don't need to get deep rest. And so I've just never been getting deep enough rest when I sleep. So cutting caffeine will like reset my whole system.
Are you a napper?
I love a nap, but usually I just wake up more groggy than I started.
Yeah, like I do believe in a true power nap. If you can commit to like, you know, they say like 20 minutes is the proper power nap time.
Yes.
But I have to give myself like 30 minutes
to fall asleep.
Yes, exactly.
They call that sleep latency, how quickly you fall asleep. Do you set an alarm when you take a power nap though?
If I know that, like, if I am very constricted on time and I have something else I need to do today and I understand that like I have to make this a power nap and not like a 1 hour groggy nap, which I still love the 1 hour.
You'll do a 1 hour nap?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
And it helps?
Yeah, it does. It helps. Like for instance, yesterday, right after we went to Jeopardy Masters.
Oh my God.
And then I knew I was going to be seeing Sinners at 10 PM.
Yeah.
And I was still very, very exhausted because I feel like I only had like 6.5 hours of sleep. I needed that extra boost.
Yeah. If your body is used to it, then it will work wonders for you.
I usually, my whole ritual of taking a nap is I turn on Kiki's Delivery Service.
Okay, the Miyazaki film?
Miyazaki film.
Okay.
The one from, I believe it's the late 80s with Kirsten Dunst as the voice of Kiki. And I love that movie because it's so gentle the way they all talk and there's classical music and there's not too much heavy dialogue or loud sounds. I turn that down to like about 5 volume, enough to where I can lightly hear it and I just listen to the dialogue until I fall asleep. And it works every time.
That is actually... I looked into this too because I also need to fall asleep to. I used to watch like Seinfeld to fall asleep too.
Yeah.
But there's like, you ever heard of unintentional ASMR?
Sure.
It's like, it's not ASMR of like a girl like, okay, so we're going to be doing this. It'll be like, here's a lecture from a scientist in 1980 who's just got like a British voice and he's like, today we're going to be talking about biology.
Yes.
And it's just
or
like.
Or it could be Bob Ross.
Right. Bob Ross.
Unintentional.
Yes. So there's one of a woman from the 80s explaining how to use a Mac computer for the first time. And it is, it's like taking fucking NyQuil, dude.
Wow.
I will send it to you. She ended up becoming like a really big Apple executive, I believe. But the video is her in the 80s or something. And she's like, so now this is called a mouse. And you're going to use the mouse to open up a folder just like you would on your desktop. And it's these two other guys like, so what do I do? How do I type in here? And she's like, well, you're going to have a word processor.
And it's soothing and calm. It doesn't affect your dreams too much.
No. And I looked into it and apparently it's actually good to fall asleep to something that you've heard before because then there's your mind is basically signaling you're safe. You know where this is going to go. Nothing's going to like jump out at you. You don't have to pay attention to like the story. And it's similar to like when a child has a bedtime story told to them, it feels like,
right. It's a sense of familiarity, a sense of safety.
Yes. So I thought that was like a bad thing and it was affecting my sleep negatively, but it turns out it is okay. And in fact, encourage if there's something that like helps you fall asleep that you're used to listening to, similar with Kiki's delivery service.
But for a nap, I can't because every night when I go to sleep, I use brown noise. Patricia and I do. We love it. We swear by it.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, brown noise, I can't use for a nap because that signals for me like deep sleep. We're going in for hours and hours and hours.
Okay.
I need to keep it a little light.
We saw Sinners yesterday, the two of us.
We did. You saw it at 7. I saw it at 10 p.m. Who'd you see it with?
Solo, baby.
Oh, right on, Mike.
You're going to love this, or I love this. There's a theater in North Hollywood called Liamoli. Have you heard of this place?
The Lamel?
Is that what it is?
Yes, it's French. The Lamel? Liamoli? Mike! The Lamel!
It's L-E-M-M-L-E?
Yeah, it's a French.
L-A-M-E-L-L-E.
So Lamel.
You told me you're going to see it, and I was like, I don't want to go at 10 o'clock. I don't want to go to the Chinese theater. Let me see where it's playing near me. There was a 7 o'clock showing at the Lamel, and it turns out on Tuesdays, they have $7 movies, any movie you want to see for $7.
That's not so bad.
I feel like that's similar to like an AMC thing. I can go see 2-3 movies a month.
AMC
for $7
will charge you $16.50 for a movie, but they have the $25 A-list package.
Yes.
So you're like, well, if I know if I'm going to see more than two movies a month, you might as well get the package. And I've been slacking on using my AMC pass. But that's
right.
Awesome. You got a great deal. Was it packed?
Kind of. It was, I would say, like 30% packed.
You know, how much it is to see a movie at the Chinese theater?
So expensive.
It's $26.50.
Yeah.
And for the people who don't know, the Chinese theater is the iconic movie theater that is on Hollywood right there in just, you know, the whole Hollywood strip where there's the Walk of Fame. And the Chinese theater is the one where all the movie stars do the handprints.
Yes.
Into the cement.
Right. And it's also where they do the big premieres that you see, like, celebrities coming out of their limousines and, like...
Yes, they do really
big
premieres there.
And,
but I would argue that movie theater is the best theater in all of L.A.
Why do you say that?
One, how historic it is.
Okay.
Two, there's not a bad seat in the house in my view.
Okay.
In its IMAX. And it's, I think it feels so intimate, yet still so far away, but not too far away. And the seats, like, have this natural recline. It's not like an automatic or electric one, but you can just lean back. And because everyone's kind of leaned back, no one's really, like, in front of you.
Yeah.
And it was perfect to see Sinners.
So you saw it in IMAX.
I saw it in IMAX, okay. Which was the intention, especially this movie by the director.
Oh,
what is
interesting.
His name? I'm blanking
Ryan
on
Coogler.
It. Ryan Coogler.
He directed Black Panther, I believe.
Yes. And okay. The dude is like only, I think, 35?
Yeah, 38. I looked it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought at least he was born in the 90s.
I can look it up.
I swear I think he's born. Well, anyways.
Continue, yes.
Incredibly young and awesome director. And
1986.
But his big... intention with that movie is because there was a little like movie magic with the ratio. Did you notice it when you saw it? And I'm not spoiling anything.
No, I saw it in regular, so maybe it didn't.
I wonder if he did like take that away for.
You're saying the aspect ratio changed at different parts of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. No, I don't think
I had
that.
Shift when it happens. I don't want to spoil it for the
okay.
people. But
I also didn't know a single thing about it going into
it. Yes, same here. I went in completely blind, which I love going in blind to movies.
Yes.
Lately, I'm very like anti-trailers unless I'm in the theater watching trailers. Like,
sure.
I'm not, if it comes up on my phone, I'm swiping because lately I feel like they show way too much of a movie in a trailer.
If there's a movie where it's like, I'll see the trailer, it'll say coming soon from Quentin Tarantino, I will put my head in my lap and close my ears because I don't even want to see. If it's a movie I know I'm going to see, like a new Christopher Nolan movie, a new Greta Gerwig movie, or like someone that I know I'm already going to see, I don't even watch the trailer.
Yeah.
It's like, so, yeah, they gotta fix that.
Insanely impressive movie. Highly recommend it. 4.5 stars. What'd you give it out of 5?
I would agree. A really good twist on a classic genre, I would say.
And the ending brought it home. The whole time I was watching it, I'm like, 4 stars, 4 stars, 4 stars. And then the ending, I was like, damn, this is 4.5.
You mean with the post-credits scene?
All of it. Just the whole last 25 minutes of the movie, I was like, all right, brought it home. My only critique, and I'll say it, and I'm not trying to come after people. I've been saying this, though. Michael B. Jordan is a mid-actor. He's not that good, dude.
Interesting.
There are so many more talented actors out there.
This is
that
dumb...
could be Michael B. Jordan's role, and he's okay. He's good.
Yeah.
But he, dude, in the movie, and I'm not really spoiling anything, you'll know it by the trailer, he plays two twins.
I wasn't sure about that at first.
He does he does a whole Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap thing.
Yep.
Plays two people on the same screen. Could you tell the damn difference of the twins throughout the movie? No, you couldn't.
They literally gave like a red hat and a blue hat so you could tell the difference.
He's not that good.
Yeah.
Everyone else, phenomenal. I'll stand by it. Michael B. Jordan is just mid.
When I'm watching the movie, I did kind of feel like I am watching Michael B. Jordan play this part. I'm not watching
Yeah.
Smoke and stack.
He's like, good. He's good.
He's a good
actor.
Yeah,
I love that awkward moment with him and Zac Efron and Miles Teller and Imogen Poots. I love that movie. I think he's great in Creed.
Yeah.
But is this all we got, Hollywood? Put someone else in it. Put someone else in it.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Maybe Lakeith Stanfield.
Who's Lakeith Stanfield?
He's been in a he's one of the best. Like, I think he might have been the guy from Get Out.
I feel like that movie could have been Jonathan Majors, but...
Well, not anymore.
You know, I knew Jonathan Majors in high school.
Speech debate team?
Yeah. Jonathan Majors and I did a theater camp with each other every summer. He went to a different high school, but he would come to my high school every summer. It's just another camp kid with me.
Do you think he'd remember you?
If I brought it up and told him exactly where I'm from, he'd be like, of course I remember you. But like, it's not like we're still friends.
You're not running into him now,
no,
though.
No, but it was crazy watching that kid's career blow up.
Yeah.
Like, if you know someone from your past and you're like, when he was in The Last Black Man to San Francisco, I was like, what in the world? Jonathan Majors is getting like booked and busy.
Yeah.
But obviously, scandal noted.
Yeah. Who did you see it with?
I saw it with my buddy Matt Reynolds and his friends.
Okay. And you just
and
top
we
to
did
bottom.
Buffalo Wild Wings before. Okay. Buffalo Wild Wings has unlimited wings right now.
Okay.
Which is not a bad deal.
Yeah, it was a very fun. Also, like the whole blues genre of it.
Yes.
Like that's a very classic blues story about like the blues
Summoning
guy.
Summoning of spirits? Or?
Well, no, like the idea of you sell your soul to the devil to be a good guitar player. That's like,
right.
A very classic blues trope. Like that's how he got to be able to play so good.
What's that one country song? It's like, I made a deal with the devil.
It's all of, I mean, so many of them, but it's, there's one specific guitar player, Robert Johnson, that it's based on. I think he's like the original guy that basically the legend goes, he was like a fine guitar player, decent in his 20s. And then he went to the crossroads. And then he made a deal with the devil. He sold his soul to the devil. And this is the story. He like went.
Is this that big country song?
It might be. It's probably about him. But he like one weekend, he was just like a mid player. He sold his soul to the devil and came back the next weekend and just blew everybody away with his guitar and singing and playing and music. And he said it's because he sold his soul to the devil. And then he ended up dying at like age 23.
Whoa.
Yeah. But it's so many blues stories are about
this. Or like Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny.
Yes,
how they get like the devil's guitar pick and they're able just to rock.
It was that was just a great, like that's how good movies should be, is like Sinner's good.
Yeah, 100%.
There's just so much garbage.
I love when just there is a film that everybody is flocking to the theaters to see. One that's not just a rehash or a remake of something. It's a brand new original story. I get very fired up about that.
Yeah. I walked into the theater and I felt like a little kid. I was like, wow, everyone's just like excited to see this movie. It's like a weeknight. It was great.
It's nice seeing a movie solo too.
Oh my God. It's my favorite.
Oh yeah.
Then you don't need to worry about like, see, you ever sit next to a talker at a movie?
No, but the guy in front of me was checking his email so much.
Oh,
like, I was
God.
Going through his inbox, like, right behind his shoulder. I'm like, you've read all the emails. What are you looking
full
for?
Full brightness? Or
checking
he...
crypto. I wouldn't say full brightness, but bright enough to where I could look right over and see it.
You don't have the cojones to tap him and say, excuse me, sir.
No.
Ugh, Matt, I...
No.
I got to give you a piece of that DNA.
You think so?
I do that. If somebody is, like, ruining my experience, I have to say something. Excuse me, sir.
But I've got to sit next to them the whole time.
Hey, could you just lower your brightness a little bit? It's a little bright.
I just think everybody's a crazy person, so I'd rather just
you think he's going to, like, turn around and start some shit?
Maybe, like, a teenager.
Interesting.
Like the last time I snapped at somebody in public, it was a teenager and this girl. They were walking down the street, and you know, in LA, we have a lot of the Uber robots that go around and deliver your food.
Yes,
respect the robots, okay? I don't think that they should be taking people's jobs, but you know what? That's not your property. Don't touch it. And it has like a little flag on it. This kid just goes up on the flag, grabs it, and just like bends it down. It's like its antenna, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't touch that.
In public?
Yeah. I was just walking right by him.
And did he say anything?
He's like, sorry, dude.
Oh, okay.
I made him look bad. It looked like he was on a date, and I made him look like pretty immature in front of the
date. Interesting.
Sorry. But yeah, you know, I could take the kid. Could I?
But an adult in a theater, you think they might like snap and punch you in the face or something?
I don't know. You just don't know what someone else is going through.
I guess. Yeah.
I think if it's like, yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to sound like an angry old man.
No, you're not. I don't think you're an angry old man.
But your sleep cycle, you're going to get it figured out.
That's the hope here. Yeah. It sucks not to have caffeine. It really is like, I'm missing the ritual in the morning.
Have you noticed though, like how much your own diet can really affect your energy levels too? Now that like
my diet's been pretty clean, thankfully.
But you can tell like, oh, me eating this, I'm getting this like natural energy from eating.
I've never actually had any issues with food, thank God, ever. I could eat potato chips and pretzels and like a chocolate bar or like a steak and a salad. I feel exactly the same.
Got it.
But caffeine, my morning ritual with the coffee, like I put on a record and I boil the water. But hopefully in like 2 or 3 weeks, I can reintroduce coffee once my cortisol, adenosine, circadian.
Are you going to start slow or you think you're going to go full maniac mode once you like?
I think I'll probably do like a half a cup to start.
Are you really looking forward to that cup?
At this point, I'm just trying to get through the day, Matt. Like yeah. So the whole thing was I went to go see it yesterday because after our long day at Jeopardy, I was so I'm just exhausted. And I usually will have, you know, sometimes if I'm tired, I'll have an Alani in the afternoon to pep me up. But I was like, I'm going to fall asleep at 6 o'clock. So I went to go see Sinners and I was like, I'm going to fall asleep in the theater. But the movie was so engaging. I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to stay awake.
And it was really cool. Mike and I, yesterday, we got to go watch the Masters taping of Jeopardy, our second annual time.
Yes.
Shout out to Tommy.
Yes.
For inviting us.
Thank you, Tommy.
It was a dream come true. I feel like, yeah, we did talk about this last year. But Masters, it's the thing is about Jeopardy. It's fun watching at home. It's fun shouting out the answers that you know, especially for just a normal episode of Jeopardy.
Yep.
The Masters of Jeopardy is a whole different ball game. Like,
it's almost not even the English language.
It's really, you're just going there to be in awe of these incredible minds that have been able to retain and preserve just the most, I don't know, a wealth of information in their noggin.
It almost felt like seeing like a magic show.
Yeah.
I felt like being at like the Magic Castle, like the Augustus III blah, blah, blah of the Saturn Uranus is blah. And the girl just knows the answer.
And that was one of my favorite things about attending the taping. And they may include this footage and bonus clips online for Jeopardy. They definitely don't include it within the cutting of the show.
Maybe it's a new thing, though, that we haven't just.
Is because I don't remember them doing this last time
they
we saw it.
They didn't.
But Ken Jennings, you know, who was the highest winning contestant in not just Jeopardy, but I believe in all of American game show history. He then took Alex Trebek's role as host after Alex died. So he's already very familiar with the game. He has the mind of being just a trivial master.
Trivia master.
Trivia master. And he would ask the contestants after the entire game, how did you know that answer?
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Car Gurus. Now, if you're making a big purchase like buying a car, it should come with confidence and not confusion. And we all know that shopping for a car should be exciting, not exhausting or confusing, but misleading prices, hidden fees, it could all feel like a maze that you're trapped in. But that's where Car Gurus comes in, because they rank the best deals, verify the dealers, and make sure that you never pay more than you should. If you have this big deal hanging over your head, oh my God, I got to get this new car. Well, with CarGurus, it just became a great deal. CarGurus will connect you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent and hassle-free buying process. With over 4 million listings, CarGurus has more listings than any other major online automotive marketplace in the U.S., so you can find the best deal. CarGurus gives you control to shop how you want to shop with the tools, information, and data-driven, real ratings you need. It's no wonder that SimilarWeb estimated traffic data shows CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping website. I have personally used CarGurus multiple times. I love the interface. I love how much information they give you. It just makes the whole process feel so much easier, and I feel so much more confident when I use CarGurus. So buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com. And now, back to the episode.
And we got to ask Ken Jennings questions.
Yes.
So when they're filming Masters Jeopardy, in between commercial breaks, or maybe if there's just like a technical error and they just have some time to kill, Ken Jennings, such a class act of a man, will walk to the audience, greet them, thank them so much for being there, and we'll open it up to questions. You can ask him anything. Last year, I was too nervous, got too scared, didn't ask him. But this time, I knew what I wanted to ask him. And the question I had for Ken Jennings was, if you were quizzed on all of the questions that you got right when you were a contestant, now, if you were quizzed on them now, would you still get them right? And what was his answer? Because I kind of went into tunnel vision.
Oh, he was basically saying, it's a great question. He said, I don't know. I don't remember all the questions. I don't think I'm like the guy from Memento where I have a perfect memory and can remember everything. But he said that at some point after his like big winning streak a couple years later, he was watching Ken Jennings on TV
himself.
And a question came up. Yeah, he was watching himself and the guy at home watching was like, I don't know the answer. And then Ken Jennings on TV knew the answer.
Yeah.
And he got a big laugh from the audience. It was a great question.
And then you asked him a question. And
which
what
is probably
that?
Something he's answered a bunch. But I just wanted to know what he sees on the screen, because he's got answers. But he'll be like, oh, not North America, just a little bit south of that. Or it was a couple years sooner than that. Like he'll have a additional insight.
He's like a familiarity of what's already being asked. And
right.
You can tell there's like even side notes or things that he can riff and connect.
But
in
is
the
he
moment.
Coming up with the fact that like, oh, you were just 2 years late on that? Like, does he know that because he knows that? Or did he get the questions ahead of time?
Right.
And he basically explained they have a script, and then on screen, sometimes he'll have notes, but he has a different screen than what we see on TV, which is also interesting. It makes sense that he has a bunch more information.
And not only did we get to see the taping of Masters Jeopardy, we also got to walk around
Sony Pictures
whole studio lot, which is always such a magical, anytime you're on a motion picture lot, there's just this incredible energy, and knowing that there's history in every nook and cranny of that place, being told that this is where they shot The Wizard of Oz right behind this soundstage, and that this was the Munchkin Land, and that all of your favorite shows, all the magic happened there. And we got to go into the prop museum, which was like legit
unbelievable.
I usually like sometimes struggle with like whenever I see like movie props, because I'm like, is this really the real thing? Because you know how you go into movie theaters, they have some things like encased.
Yeah,
you don't know if it's a replica or if this was just a prop that never even got around. But I believe the ones that we saw
at the studio itself, I feel like they have the stuff. It's their property.
Yes, it's legit. For me, the biggest ones that I enjoyed, I got to see the alarm clock from Groundhog Day, the one that he smashes every single day.
Unbelievable.
Love that was such a treat. And
rise and shine, booties. It's gonna be a cold one out there,
because it's a groundhog. And then I got to see the props from The Social Network, specifically
yes.
like the bid that Eduardo gets from the Phoenix and all of that.
They had the card that says "I'm CEO, bitch" on it.
Yes.
They had
the backpack from Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes.
And then they had also a whole like setup of Seinfeld set. It wasn't like the actual set, but like a perfect.
I believe that couch might have been one of the couches. I mean, they did the show for 9 years, so I believe that they probably had multiple of certain things. I don't know if like the telephone, but it just seeing it like set up, like those proportions. What?
Where in New York did Seinfeld live?
121 West 81st Street, apartment 5A.
So is that on the
upper west side?
Upper West Side.
Yeah.
Was Seinfeld as his character? On the show, was he wealthy?
Kind of.
He was a full-time stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And was he famous?
He was like a decent comedian. Like he would go on The Tonight Show like once a year, would play shows, go to Atlantic City. And like he was just like a good stand-up person, just like a good stand-up comedian. Not world famous. I don't think on the show he was like a touring, like, hey, I'm going to go do 30 sold-out shows. I'm playing Madison Square Garden. He'd play like... I don't know, the Comedy Store in LA. He was like a middling comedian.
Got it.
But
how much would his rent be today?
They have an episode about like Elaine trying to get an apartment, and this guy's moving out and she's trying to get it. And there it was like $800 a month for an apartment.
Okay.
And it was like normal.
1995.
But like a New York City apartment for under $2,000 is unheard of.
Oh yeah. No way.
It is so interesting to go see stuff from like the 90s. What their pricing was for like a gallon of gas or like gonna go get groceries. It's like $20 for all these groceries. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's like, you can't walk outside and sneeze without spending $20. But seeing the Seinfeld set, I do kind of wish, like, not that you're not a great person to go with, but I would have loved to go like with a friend that knows Seinfeld and like act out a scene and just be like, George, the Junior Mint, what's going on? And then I want to like do Kramer busting through the door and like reenact a scene there. And like, you know how we would do the Social Network scene?
Yes.
I could do that with a few Seinfeld scenes.
I'm sure you can recreate it.
But I did that
Maybe
picture.
Maybe I will
like,
get around and I will watch Seinfeld.
What's the deal with airplane peanuts? I posted that picture. Like,
yeah.
That was really fun. And just seeing like also the dimensions of how small the set is, like they would put four people in there just bouncing around and tight camera shots. And that was a really, it was such a, also we didn't know we were going to see that. Like that was a nice surprise for us. We thought we were going to see Jeopardy.
Yeah.
We'll get a tour of the lot, which is cool, but you don't really get to go and like see inside. You see the buildings, you see like what it's like. But it was a nice surprise.
I'm putting this out there because I want to try to manifest it, because I do have like a little like group that we want to do it together. Okay. I really want to do Jeopardy pop culture.
You should audition for it.
If you guys aren't familiar with Jeopardy pop culture, it's basically Jeopardy, but they quiz you on pop culture. It's on Amazon Prime, I believe. Yeah, right now. Colin Jost is the host. And yeah, they quiz you on pop culture. First round, I usually get all of them right. Every time I'm watching an episode.
That's insane.
I know it pretty well. My only weak points is like 1970s pop culture.
You got to watch I Love the 70s.
See, I was a massive fan of I Love the 80s and I Love the 90s on VH1. I lived and breathed those.
There were shows. Yeah.
It was like, yeah, these commentary talking heads reacting videos. And the 70s, though, I don't know. I never fall in love with the 70s. I actually really struggle with like even movies made in the 70s.
Yeah.
Just even politics, anything that happened in the 70s. I'm just like not that into it.
Yeah. Like Richard Nixon or you're just like, I don't care.
If they made like a Mad Men of the 70s or like, I need to find a perfect show that like captures
that 70s
vibe
show
of the 70s. You know what? Maybe that 70s show.
I think that's just like the aesthetic of the 70s. I don't think it was the personality of the 70s.
Yeah, and were they even that literal about like what year it was in the 70s in that show?
I don't think so.
I think like the show The Goldbergs, it's set, I believe, in the 80s, but they do not specify what year it is. It's just 80s.
I kind of agree with you about the 70s. Like, what's that? There's one, Inherent Vice by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
Very 70s movie. Couldn't get into it. I don't like the long sideburns and the like bell bottoms and disco. Like,
it just feels like a little lost in, yeah, like American culture. I think the 60s were was the most pivotal point in American culture completely.
Yep.
In terms of just like art, music, design, it was just this massive shift. But the 70s, the 70s was like Vietnam and stuff, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, the 70s were like Vietnam. There's kind of like a dark, confused side to the 70s.
Yes.
Where I feel like America just got kind of like lost or was very divided. There's just like, I don't know.
Also,
it doesn't excite me.
The look of it, too, just doesn't seem that cool.
Yeah.
Everything is awful.
None of the outfits I'm really that into.
Just a lot of, it's like the leftover 60s floral, like psychedelic stuff. But then with like the big collars and the roller skates and there wasn't that much to it. Also, I feel like the 60s has so many different facets to it. You have the Beatles, you have the peace and love, you have like the Mad Men stuff, you have just post-World War II, like, I don't know. The 70s are, I will agree with you on that.
Have you ever like looked into like how much people hated disco back in the 70s?
Huge.
The people were angry about disco. Would like go, there was even one time at some major league baseball game where like everyone brought their disco records and they like blew it up out in the field and stuff. It was
really?
It was like a screw disco night.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably like what some people feel like Taylor Swift is today. It's just, it's
how
everywhere.
Dare you? Now you're okay. Because Taylor Swift is pop. You're wrong on this. I see
disco
what you're
was
going
pop
for.
Music. That's what it was. The idea of pop music didn't really exist.
Oh, kind of good point.
Pop music is like an 80s thing. And then from the 80s, then we got boy bands in the 90s, NSYNC, Britney Spears.
Blowing my mind. Was there pop in the 70s?
There was like,
but disco was like a committed genre.
Right. Yes. It was like a specific tempo, and like also it was a culture. There was the disco clubs, there was disco balls, there was disco outfits,
and that like dominated anytime you went out. Was like,
I feel
you
like,
couldn't escape disco.
Yes.
It was like, in a way, you were like culturally trapped with the genre and you couldn't get out of it.
I imagine also was probably like anybody that wasn't cool on their own was like, oh, I could just be a disco guy and now I'm gonna be cool, and it's just filled with a bunch of, it's like Burning Man.
I feel that way right now about house music, though. Like, there's certain house music I do fuck with. Then there's some house music I'm like, absolutely not. Turn this
just
shit
like
off.
Just like the deep, like the
it's
deep.
It's just dark. I feel dark, lost, and I'm not, I don't know if I should feel like happy. And I'm talking about like, you go, maybe like, it's, I feel like clubs, if you're going out to like clubs in LA, it's mostly hip hop and it's like mashups of hip hop.
But there's like
lounge, if you go to a lounge place,
a hookah bar,
it's like house music, but it, I don't know, there's this repetitive darkness to it and it feels really stripped down and I don't feel like it's going anywhere. And I feel like it's a kind of running its course, though I do love EDM.
There's a whole world where of like it's house, it's a tropical house, it's EDM, it's dance music. There's all these different subgenres of electronic music. So maybe there's a specific type that you don't like.
Yeah.
It might be like deep house is something that you don't like.
Maybe it's deep house.
Deep house is a specific genre.
But I
genre.
Love Fred again.
That's not, I don't think that's considered deep house.
Did you love dubstep?
I did.
Dude, when dubstep first came out on the scene, it was revolutionary.
Skrillex really changed the fucking face of music with that.
I loved it. Looking back, I'm like, I don't know if like.
It's dated, and when it came out, sounded like the most revolutionary, like this is the craziest sound I've ever heard. But now if you hear a wubba wubba in a song, you're like, what is this, 2008?
Yeah.
Like, boom, wow, wub, 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 wub. It's like, don't. We're past that, but at the time it was unbelievable. We're also sampling like that girl screaming, oh my god, call 911 now, and then it's just like it felt almost cathartic of
do
like,
you know what the oh my gosh is from?
From the girl stacking cups.
Yes,
is that what it is? Yeah,
yeah, from for Scary Monsters and Scary
Spooky
Sprites.
Something.
Yes,
yeah,
incredible album.
Yeah, it's a girl who stacks cups and she wins her tournament.
Do
right,
do you like cup stacking?
As you like to say, all respect, I don't really understand why this is a cool thing for people to do.
I think cup stacking is actually pretty cool.
I
feel like it was really hard to get into cup stacking in the 90s, though. Like, if you went to like a summer camp, there was like cup stacking cups and you could do it.
Yeah.
But then I think in early 2000s, it really blew up with like the rise of the internet. And now you can buy the cup stacking like thing set. You hit. But I love just kind of how simple it is. You stack them, and I don't know if
it just happens too quick. It's like a stack, a restack, and then a restack, and it's like under 2 seconds.
Cup stacking, I think, is more fun than a Rubik's Cube.
This is the exact analogy I was going to make. A Rubik's Cube is so much more interesting than cup stacking. You know how much...
But there's no formula to cup stacking, right?
You mean formula for Rubik's Cube?
Rubik's Cube, there's a formula where once you know the formula and if you really master the formula, cup stacking is nothing but like dexterity.
But that also applies to the Rubik's Cube, and they'll give you different formations. Like everybody will get the same set of mix-ups and you can solve it different ways. Like it's not always the same way. There's a way to solve it, but there's like infinite ways to solve a Rubik's Cube. You could solve it just by making like 8 moves, or you could do 32, and it's how quickly can you figure out which algorithm is the best to solve it with.
I get less and less impressed with Rubik's Cube solvers every year.
Would you rather go to a Rubik's Cube competition or a cup stacking competition?
Cup stacking!
On a Saturday afternoon, that's where you want to go? Ready? Oh, wow, great.
You know what? You do have a point. I really don't know which one I would go to, and I don't even think... It's interesting you see like kids who go to like cup stacking camps or Rubik's Cube solving camps. Are they having a good time?
Yes.
Like, but so do you,
I think so.
Do you earn, do you get higher up in like social rankings with friends and stuff where it's like, oh wow, you just shaved 3 seconds off your time.
Probably.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I think it's a hype thing to be around. Like, can you do this?
Actually, you know what I'd rather go to over all of it? A yo-yo competition.
That's pretty sick. I would go to a yo-yo competition.
Are yo-yos still popping? Bring yo-yos back.
Once in a while, I'll see a TikTok guy doing some wild ass yo-yo shit. And all the comments were like, bro, my girl's on this app, chill. And it's just like, it's like a guy who's just clearly like just doing this and only this.
Did you get into yo-yo?
I was a big yo-yo guy.
Make them
Spitfire.
Sleep?
Oh,
how
yeah.
do you make a yo-yo sleep?
You got to throw it down really hard and flick your wrist just enough and then it will sleep.
I thought it was like you had to open up the yo-yo, then reverse the loop.
No.
On like its.
It depends. There was a Yo-Mega. There was a Spitfire. There was different brands.
Duncan
was a great one.
But I loved a butterfly yo-yo.
Where it was like almost
it
like.
It spreads out. Like it has wings. Like it doesn't fold in. So like
right.
The yarn could like just catch easier rather than if it was like a hamburger.
Oh, that's weak shit, Matt.
What are you talking about?
That's for noobs. Yeah,
oh.
It's a little, yeah, that's what you want. You want the simple slit because that's how you really get the sleep going. Have you never been able to sleep a yo-yo?
Yes, I could sleep a yo-yo all the time. I could rock at the cradle around the world.
Where you do the
walk
thing.
Walk the dog.
Oh, yeah.
It's, all of that.
Honestly, a yo-yo is such a fun idea.
But I just remember trying to get it to sleep was kind of hard, though. So
I think they ended up making them with a little mechanism that made it easier for them to go to sleep. But I imagine in like the 1950s, which was just like a rope on a thing, probably impossible.
What about a Chinese yo-yo?
What's that?
I remember a kid at my elementary school.
Oh, like the sticks?
It's a talent show. You got some sticks, and then you toss the yo-yo up, and you catch it, and do it to some dubstep.
I do. There's always those, like, I call those, like, boardwalk games, where it's like, wow, that looks so much fun, and then you go home, and you're, like, in your living room, and like, I don't have the room for this.
Yeah.
Just, like, I'm not gonna.
Okay, what about devil sticks? Did you ever
I think that's what I'm thinking of, devil sticks, where you're just, like, it's, like, two sticks, and you have a third one that you're trying to catch?
Yes, that's devil sticks. Chinese yo-yo, though, it's, like, two sticks on a string, and you're tossing it up and you're catching it.
Yeah, those are like boardwalk games for me where I'm like,
what about hacky sack? Are you good at a hacky sack?
Big hat. I'll still fucking sack if you want a sack. I love a hacky sack.
I love the idea of a hacky sack, but there's a time where if a sack group is getting together, I'm like, sorry.
Can you hack a sack with those gams that you got?
These shoes?
Those tree trunks of legs that you got. I feel like it's probably hard for you to get that leg up.
I can hack the sack. It depends on the sack. I don't like those little bohemian, like, knitted ones. Like, what? You know what I
no,
mean?
No, those are the best
ones.
They
look like bohemian Ottomans.
It looks like they took it off of someone's head.
Yeah, it's like off of, like, a Rastafarian, yes. Like, man's head. I like the ones that are, like, filled with sand that almost have that, like, felt texture around it. That really, like, when they hit your boot, it's like...
Yeah, like, those are the easier kind technically.
Okay.
The ones with like the beads in them that are like woven, like stitched.
Yes.
Those are the real hacky sacks. And you can did you ever like play like after school we're going to go play hacky sack and play for like 30 minutes?
Sure, but it never became like a regular thing where I'm like, I'm really good at this and people are going to ask me to come back to play.
Oh,
hacky
I was doing
sack.
Tricks like you throw it up and then you bend over and catch it on the back of your
and
head
catching
then,
your yarmulke.
Yeah. Do you think kids are still sacking today?
I don't know. It needs to come back. I think it's just a lot of Fortnite and Roblox and Minecraft.
I would love to drive by a school and just see a bunch of kids playing hacky sack after school.
Do you like Minecraft?
I don't even know what it is.
Yes, you know what Minecraft is.
Roblox, Minecraft, I don't really understand it. Is it a video game? Is it like The Sims? Is it... Like,
Minecraft is like a world where you like create anything you want out of like little blocks.
But is there like, are there levels?
Yeah,
you have to beat a boss?
Yes, there's all different types. You can make games within Minecraft. You can explore. You can team up with people and just make like replicas. It's really cool. And I've downloaded it. I've tried to play it, but it's not for me. But I'm so blown away by how massive of a following it has.
I'm not
a hater, but it's just like, I don't know. It's also crazy. Like the guy who made Minecraft like made it on accident too.
Is it also the same thing as Roblox or that's different?
Roblox is no. It's wait. It's, yeah, it's totally different, Mike.
I don't know. Roblox is also
a game that you can play like on an iPad as well. Maybe you can also play Minecraft on an iPad or like on your phone.
Should we get into Minecraft?
Roblox is like it's like an avatar world, and you're like there's also tons of mini games, and you have skins and stuff, and you're like these little blocky characters. And I think it's more for kids. Even though I think it's still pretty like risky to play on it. It's like Club Penguin, but like way more like first POV.
Is it more like Sims? Where like there's not really like a goal, but you're just kind of like having fun in a world?
Sure.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. I would love to see some kids playing hacky sack. Hocking a frisbee. You throw a frizz around.
You know what? I actually do love a frisbee, but it takes me a while to get like the groove going. Once again, I would just be apologizing for a bit.
Because
like,
your toss is just, sorry, I'll get it.
I love playing Ultimate. Ultimate Frisbee?
Never played that.
You've never played Ultimate Frisbee?
No.
One of the best damn backyard games ever.
It's like football.
You throw it, and then once you catch it, you can't run or you can't move. You have to throw it to the next person, and you just like boom, 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 get it all the way down.
Do you get tackled?
No.
Or is it like two-hand touch?
You can like run and like... But, catch it and get pretty rough doing that.
But the point of football is you tackle people.
You have to intercept it from other people or block it, and then it hits the ground, and then it switches to the other team. So it goes like back and forth.
Is there a field goal?
There is a like area where you're supposed to like toss it.
You ever played Can Jam?
Can Jam?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's you basically have a frisbee and you have two cans. They're basically like just big pieces of plastic that almost look like garbage cans. You roll it up. And there's an opening at the top, and then there's a slit in the middle. Two teams of two on each side. And Like, it's similar to cornhole, where, like, I'm on the same team as you, even though we're on the opposite sides. So I will take my Frisbee, throw it to try and get it into your can, and you as my teammate, if it is going into the top, you want to slam it into the top to, like, make it like a basketball. Or if you can get it into the slot, which is, like, basically impossible, then it's an automatic win. It's super fun. So it's basically just like a Frisbee game.
I played like a drinking version of
it. It is a drinking game. It's like a bachelor party, backyard.
You can also play like in kind of water, or you get like two PVC pipes. You put a beer can on top of the PVC pipes. You throw your the object is to like hit the pole. The beer falls, but like the person on the other team has to catch the beer and then like sip it or something. Yes. I don't know. Take their
something
shirt
like
off.
That. Yeah.
I do like that game.
Well, that was super fun. Super quick episode.
A little quick little mini episode.
I love chatting with you, though.
A little snack pack of an episode.
It's always good to revisit these like childhood things, too, with you and just like get your perspective on it. Cup stacking, couldn't be me.
Invite us to the cup stacking invitational this year. We'd love to see it in person.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Toodles.
Bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do. Heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.